What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Feels good sitting down, hit record today and doing a solo podcast episode here. I feel like I haven't actually recorded a podcast in the last couple weeks, so it's kind of nice just hopping on. I want to give you guys some life updates, talk about some things that have been top of mind for me, wrap it up, and we'll move on. I have a couple more podcast guests that I'm super excited about over the next few weeks or so. So I'm excited to bring those conversations to you. The podcast hasn't been as consistent over the last week or two as much as I'd like personally, but honestly, it's been a good exercise for me personally to like live with that and to not have my own personal deadlines that I set for myself of at least getting one podcast episode out every single week. Like, ironically, like the fear of me doing that or not doing that, not holding true to that has honestly been like a weight lifted off my shoulders and putting this expectation on myself that I have to be perfect with my content every single week. When in reality, you know, kind of this make the best of it mentality, show up when I can, do the best work as I can. Like that's going to be the mindset that I keep leaning on and things that I keep trying to do, especially as the baby comes here in the next little over a month, month and a half or so. So Katie and I are extremely excited. Again, for those of you who don't know, or this may be your first podcast episode you've ever listened to of my podcast, my wife and I are expecting a little girl here in May, and the last few weeks have been insanely chaotic between, we had a couple baby showers. I wasn't at either of them. I made my face in one of them, but my wife is from a little rural town, so she split up baby showers, one down kind of in her hometown where she grew up, and then one with kind of her more close, kind of intimate Reno friends, the people who are, you know, living closer in proximity to us here. So we had a couple weekends of baby showers. And for all my ladies out there who have maybe had a baby shower before or bridal shower, like you kind of know how much work can go into some of these things, especially today. Us millennials, man, I feel like if there's an excuse to do anything, like you just do all the things all the time at whatever capacity you can. And I kind of love that honestly about our generation. I've noticed that as I've gotten older and as I've had a lot of these milestones or these benchmarks and these huge celebrations, whether it be wedding stuff or baby shower stuff or bachelorette parties, it's like, yeah, no longer are the days where you just go out the night before your wedding and call that your bachelor or bachelorette party like our parents did. It's like, no, we got to go to San Diego or we got to go to Chicago or we got to go to Austin, Texas for four nights and bring 7 to 10 people and, you know, kind of celebrate, party, and do whatever you need to do in some of those cities. And I tend to notice those trends again bleeding into the baby showers and the bridal showers and, you know, a lot of these cool, really important life events that we have going on. And these baby showers over the last couple of weeks, we're extremely grateful for Katie's family and her friends and everyone that kind of stepped up and, you know, helped host and made those days really special for her. Obviously, there's a lot of upfront work and a lot of, you know, tear down work. And we hosted a baby shower at our place. So, you know, putting probably 20 hours, you know, over the course of the week of setup and tear down and reorganization and cleaning and making sure everything, you know, came out the way we anticipated it. It honestly exceeded expectations. But again, it you have to put a lot of work in upfront for these things to run as smoothly as you'd like. So with the combination of that and honestly just getting ready for the baby, getting the nursery ready, we're almost done with that. I've just kind of been doing some touch-up stuff here, assembling things, got to put some curtains up, crib, chair, all those things are, you know, kind of ready to go. But, you know, spending my evenings with Katie, you know, kind of getting ready for the baby, organizing the house, cleaning out closets, like, yeah, you don't really realize how much shit you have or how much unorganized shit you have, I guess we could say, as you start to prep for bringing a baby into this world, because you realize that one, like I need more space or I need to consolidate or at least make space for a lot of the things that we are now receiving. And I swear to God, we've had packages come to our door every single day over the last like 4 weeks. And again, very grateful for that. But man, our recycle people here, I bet just shake their head every time they pull up to our house and take our recycle every other week. Cause it's just jam packed and they can't even shut the lid. So just, been a lot of stuff going on. Kitty and I have been taking some classes. We've been going to a local hospital where we're going to deliver, doing some birthing classes, just kind of getting up to speed with things to expect and what we can prepare for and, you know, how we're going to handle day of and after and all that good stuff going on. So with classes and getting ready for the baby stuff, as you can imagine, like my list of available time to podcast, to even create content on social media and to post there regularly and consistently, it's taken a little bit of a hit, because really my priorities as we get closer to the baby is like taking care of and putting most of, if not all, my attention into my current coaching clients, coaching calls, workout programming, you know, client check-ins, making sure everyone's up to speed and feeling good, you know, week to week. That's always going to be my biggest rock each week, and that's always going to take priority. And now that we have baby stuff, my mom got her hip replaced this last Monday. So just, you know, just family stuff going on and some travel. We had some trips, got prep work we're doing, just the things we've been preparing for. It's just funny to see how little time you have sometimes to do extracurriculars, kind of like the podcast. So long story short, this is my way of justifying like why I haven't been as present on the podcast as of recent. And it's honestly, again, just been helpful for me to kind of give myself grace and to take the advice that I would likely give to somebody else who is sitting in my position as they were kind of, you know, transitioning into the next chapter of, you know, of their lives. And I've had plenty of conversations and coaching calls, you know, similar to the things that we're talking about today, where it's like, yeah, you just can't be Superman or Superwoman all the time, and allowing yourself to prioritize the things that are most important and not stressing or giving a fuck about the things that, again, you know, maybe can be helpful or maybe are important, but maybe aren't as important as some of the other things that you've kind of got loaded up on your plate right now. So I've really tried to be intentional with that and have tried to show up in whatever capacity I can. And today it's nice. I've got, you know, another 30 minutes or so before my calls start here again this afternoon. So I figured I'd just hop on and do a little podcast episode and talk about, again, some things that have kind of been top of mind for me recently as I've been making content, even as I've onboarded new clients, and trends and things that I've been really excited about as I've graduated a handful of clients over this last month or two. And just want to talk about some of those things that, yeah, we've talked about before, but just things that I think we can keep hitting home and keep bringing it to our attention so we know how to think and be critical thinkers and continue to kind of live a life with a little bit more peace, a little bit less stress around our health and fitness. As you know, a lot of people, this is a primary form of stress on their life sometimes, is worrying about their nutrition and worry about their food and worrying about what they're eating away from home and, you know, what their exercise routine is, if they're getting their steps in every single day. Like, I think there is some benefit to having some stress of like prioritizing that and being mindful of a lot of those decisions around your health and your fitness. But again, people can take that to the extreme. And, you know, where does that extreme come from? Stuff that we're going to talk about today, which again is kind of talking about this concept of majoring in the minors, you know, stepping over dollar bills to pick up pennies, or even stepping over $50, $100 bills to pick up pennies. Things that I've been lucky enough to have guests on the show talk about a lot of these concepts. I was recently a guest on a podcast just a couple weeks ago, or it was actually a couple months ago, but the podcast dropped a couple weeks ago with Nicole. It was really awesome. I can link that show in the show notes, but it was fun being on her podcast after I had her on my podcast as a guest. We talked about this concept of majoring in the minors, and I think it was just, it was something that I found myself getting worked up and really, you know, just felt a lot of passion talking about. And I just want to talk about that a little bit more today, expand on some of the topics that I wanted to talk about on that episode, and just kind of leave you guys with hopefully some peace of mind that, you know, you don't have to be thinking about everything all the time. And I think that is what social media has kind of done to us, is we see these accounts or these posts or, you know, stories or videos or reels. And it, I don't know about you, but like sometimes when I watch or I consume content, I start to think about like how much information is out there. So there's definitely a level of like information overload, but the emphasis on so many things can, yeah, again, just, you know, be kind of convoluted and make it difficult to actually prioritize the things that are going to be the biggest return on your investment as it comes to taking care of your health over the long term. And so many times people are exposed to so many bits of information, so many ideologies, so many theories of, and I say theories too, because a lot of these things aren't even backed in science. A lot of these, you know, kind of accounts and kind of tribes that you might see promoting and dispelling certain types of nutrition information. A lot of it just being anecdotal experience, or misinterpreting or lying about some of the research in some of these cases. But there's an overwhelm or a sense of like this, just overwhelmingly amount of lot of information that you just can't differentiate what's true or not and what you should listen to. And eventually everyone just tries to retain all this information and tries to start applying it to their life and however they see fit. And before you know it, you have a million thoughts as it comes to your food selection and what you order when you eat away from home and what oils you're cooking with to cook your eggs in the morning and what your grocery list might look like, right? And in how much you're eating and all of these things that, again, if you think about how much you think about food already throughout the course of the day, like what am I eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? What time am I going to eat? What do I have prepped? Do I need to make something? Do I need to stop somewhere? And then you add another layer on top of that of like micromanaging or hyper-focusing on single ingredients or single foods or having this like good or bad food dichotomy that a lot of people fall victim to where it's like, oh, I shouldn't eat carbs or I shouldn't eat this thing that has vegetable oil in it, right? Or I shouldn't eat past this time of the day because I've heard intermittent fasting is best. And before you know it, like you're thinking about food and you're thinking about all these rules and every single time you choose to eat or not to eat, this food noise and this amount of information that's flooding your brain around when and what you eat just makes this even more difficult than it needs to be. Because nutrition and feeding yourself for life can be difficult in certain contexts. And ideally, we want to make this easier. We want to adopt a little bit more of like a minimalist mentality. And we don't want to be hyper-focusing on every little decision and micromanaging every single food that we put into our mouth. Because quite frankly, that's fucking exhausting. And people can only do that for so long, again, before they don't do anything at all, or before they're not thinking about their nutrition at all, before a year goes by and they're like, oh shit, I gotta tighten the reins a little bit again here because I, you know, kind of got off track. And before you know it, that yo-yo chronic dieting, chronic like stop-start mentality that people experience just continues to persist year after year. And before you know it, you're thinking about losing weight or changing your nutrition or starting over on Monday or next month, 3, 4, 5 times a year. And again, that is the cycle that I want and that most people want you to break free from if that's something that you're experiencing right now. And again, a lot of the root cause of that is this misunderstanding or misinformation or this hyper-focusing on things that aren't really going to be the biggest return on your investment compared to other stuff that you could be doing and shifting your focus to. So this whole majoring in the minors is a really fun topic to talk about. And there's a lot of side tangents and nuances and things that we could talk about when it comes to this stuff. But I really want to keep to some of the basics today and give like an overarching like 30,000 foot view of like what we're talking about and how you can start to kind of adopt or at least appreciate the fact that your health isn't determined by whether or not your blood sugar spikes after a meal or whether or not you're eating something with canola oil in the ingredients list or you're using that in a baked good that you're making at home. Like health is so multifactorial and it goes so far beyond that. And again, it's this oversimplification, it's this vilification, it's this demonization of all of these things that, again, just creates more confusion rather than actually helping people. And the reason I'm talking about this, again, is most of the time, I say most of the time, not every time, but when I have new clients come to me, when we start working with each other and we start working on our nutrition and maybe we're tracking food or maybe we're talking about fiber or maybe we're increasing how much food we're eating or maybe we're changing your relationship with food, it's like, or challenging some of the relationships that you have with food and getting you to a place where you can appreciate things a little bit differently. A lot of times when I have somebody, there's a lot of education, there's a lot of conversations around old knowledge or old thoughts and patterns and belief systems that they've been leaning on forever that aren't serving them. And again, a lot of it stems from misinformation or them believing that, you know, our health is determined by one thing, or they tried keto 3 years ago and it worked for them because they lost, you know, 20 pounds in a 4 month stretch. But every time they go back to keto after that, it's just something that feels like this never ending loop of like, oh, I just restrict and then I binge and then I restrict and then I binge. It's like, how can we unlearn some of these thoughts, these behaviors? How can we actually get caught up to speed on what you know, what the nutrition research says, and you don't have to be reading research articles here, but at least understand the principles of nutrition, understanding energy balance, understanding nutrients, understanding what foods might be harmful at what doses, understanding what foods might not be harmful. And when we compare certain things, like what does the research say on those things? That's what I want people to get to a place where they can kind of differentiate just like what they're doing on a daily basis and what is going to be healthy for them over the long term. And when we look at the social media landscape as it exists today, there are a handful of styles of communication when it comes to nutrition, you know, education and nutrition information on what types of strategies are, you know, being communicated to people. And one of them is fear-based nutrition, right? Fear-mongering, trying to scare the shit out of people, like talking about these quote unquote, you know, hyped up secrets that they don't want you to know about, or the government doesn't want you to know about, or big industry, whatever it is. That type of content does extremely well. And that type of content gets picked up by the algorithm extremely well because comments, engagement, people sending it, this black or white way of thinking or communicating, again, is a lot more exciting, a lot more enticing than something that is vague or that is and not even vague, but is adding context that is somewhere in the gray area that appreciates the fact that there could be multiple answers or directions that you could go with a given piece of information. But influencers and wellness accounts and, you know, quote unquote, people who have done their own research and have, you know, fixed their health issues by doing certain things or following other certain, you know, camps or ideologies, they are often giving black and white nutrition advice without any context, without any explanation, talking about things as an end-all be-all. And what does that do? It leads to confusion, right? It leads to uncertainty. It leads to distrust in healthcare professionals, in people with credentials, people who are quote-unquote experts in this area. And it builds rapport. It builds, you know, confidence with some of these other people who are just rambling about how you should be drinking raw milk all the time. And, you know, you should never eat a carbohydrate unless it's in the form of fruit, right? Or there are people even out there who are saying you shouldn't even eat fucking fruit at the end of the day either. So the way that people communicate these things, if they are talking in absolute terms, if they are talking about things in a way that is very believable, that is very concrete, that is very just like kind of in your face, people are going to be more likely to resonate with that or more likely to believe that person because they are sounding very knowledgeable, very scientific, very, you know, very certain about the information that they're talking about. When in reality, again, with nutrition, we have to appreciate the fact that there are big rocks, there are general principles, there are things that we can apply from person to person. But there is an individual basis that needs to be acknowledged here that, again, goes missing in a lot of these, you know, health content creators type of marketing and messaging. And I say marketing again because a lot of it is geared towards scaring you and selling you a product or selling you a solution to a problem that you don't have or that doesn't exist. And there's a lot of money to be made in that space and with that type of marketing and content strategy. And so that's why you see a lot of these things performing really well and why people are doubling down on this and continuing to have that be their whole identity when it comes to their social media. In addition to that, right, we have this fear-based nutrition kind of marketing. We've alluded to it, but there's this overemphasis of just individual foods, individual ingredients, individual things that are leading to health outcomes better or worse. Things like blaming sugar, high fructose corn syrup, seed oils, GMOs, right? GMOs and pesticides are, you know, kind of have always been under attack, but a lot of these people share, you know, similar conversations and sentiments about how, you know, if you don't eat a vegetable that's organic, you shouldn't eat vegetables or fruits at all because those pesticides and all those things are going to be killing you, which is ironically the opposite of what we see in actual human randomized control trials and observational studies and the research that we have on a lot of the doses and a lot of these things that we're, you know, treating our crops with. And I say we, like I'm doing this, I'm a farmer out there, but just the practices that we see from a farming standpoint today and from getting fruits and vegetables and, you know, all of these crops that we're, you know, producing in our country, also importing from other places, you know, non-organic, just conventional fruits and vegetables are 1000% healthy, nutritious, health promoting. They're not something that you should be afraid of. But again, I bring up the GMOs because people are planting their flag of like, hey, you shouldn't be eating these. And, you know, they're part of the, you know, head, or they have interest in some of these other groups or agencies that are very pro-organic, right? But again, the point I'm driving at is there's an overemphasis on individual things when health is not about individual factors. Yes, those individual factors and individual things can lead up to things making this more difficult for people or could be a topic of conversation. But again, the hill that people are dying on are not the hills that are actually leading to long-term health outcomes for people. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the role of social determinants of health and just how that plays into things and why this idea that like, oh, you had a cracker with high fructose corn syrup, that means you're unhealthy or that is a quote unquote bad food. When again, that's just lacks context, lacks nuance. And ironically, you know, there are situations where maybe that Ritz cracker could be used as a ergogenic aid or as something that could be helping people like an endurance athlete or somebody taking a pre-workout and, you know, they're having a little bit of simple carbohydrates and crackers before their lift. And, you know, there's a time and place for everything. But again, it's very easy to sit in Costco or to go to Trader Joe's or to go to whatever grocery store it is that you're shopping at and to look at the back of something and see these individual ingredients and get afraid of the ingredients that you cannot pronounce, which don't get me started on that. And some of the videos that have been surfacing from some certain public health officials that, you know, are in charge today, but it's a poor allocation of our time and mental energy and it's not teaching people anything. And if anything, it's a distraction that is causing more harm and uncertainty and again, distrust and honestly, like less empowering in certain contexts, right? Because if some people are here thinking that, hey, there's big food and these food agencies and, you know, the food industry is out to get us and they're intentionally trying to make us sick, like that placing the blame on those things and not taking any personal responsibility or accountability when it comes to food selection, when it comes to some of these things that you're doing on a daily basis, it's a lot easier to place the blame than to try and act on things that you actually have control over, which again, there are truths that, you know, we live in a very capitalist society that has infiltrated the food system and kind of like the old, you know, grocery stores and all the health products or food products that we see today, like a lot of it is for profit, right? And there is a lot of money that has been spent on engineering foods that are getting people to really enjoy them, that taste really good, that increase the likelihood of them buying them again over time for the sole benefit of increasing revenue, increasing profits, and then you know, further developing products and other things that can make more money over time. So I'm not going to dismiss the fact that our food environment is fucked up. It 1000% is. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. But this overemphasis on single ingredients, single products, a group of things out there, sometimes it's missing the mark and scaring people away from those things can, again, lead to orthorexic behaviors or lead to binging or could lead to, again, just more confusion about what people should or shouldn't be doing. And sometimes, you know, again, we talk about this food environment. It's like, you know, the trigger has already been pulled, right? Like we have to learn how to live in this food environment. And part of living in this food environment is learning how to incorporate some of these things or learning how to navigate this food landscape or going grocery shopping or ordering certain things or how frequently you eat some of these foods. But the complete avoidance and being afraid of all of these foods in all contexts is, I just don't think something that is helping most people. And that's evidenced by a lot of the experience that I have with humans working in this kind of coaching nutrition setting. And these are a lot of the things that we are talking about on our coaching calls and getting people to a place where they can go to the grocery store, or they can go shopping, or they can go to a friend's birthday party and have some Oreos or some ice cream cake and not freak the fuck out about that. Like that for a lot of people is what success looks like. And knowing when to do that and how to navigate that and how to make those decisions for themselves. Again, we're looking at things that are going to empower people, not scare the shit out of people all the time. But this overemphasis on individual foods, it's just, again, we're just kind of stepping over, you know, $100 bills and picking up pennies if someone's out here thinking they need to avoid seed oils at all costs. while they're still drinking alcohol every weekend, while they're eating, you know, 50% of their calories from like saturated fat sources, right? While they're still not controlling their calories, while they're still super sedentary, you know, while they're doing all these things that, you know, when done in conjunction with some of these other things, like that's when we see health promoting behaviors instead of just hyper-focusing on one thing and thinking that's going to solve all our issues, or at a population level and at a public health level is going to improve health outcomes in all costs. It's just, it's not likely. But yes, there's a lot of reasons why this type of like content does really well. But again, it's more for engagement. It's more for consumption. It's more for you sticking around to seeing what other people have to say. And that's the kind of shit that drives engagement and that drives followers and that drives revenue, unfortunately, for a lot of people. So, you know, I've talked about a lot of things already, but this whole idea that there's quote unquote bad foods out there, or bad ingredients, or you shouldn't be eating things that you can't pronounce, or insert literally whatever type of health comment or recommendation that you might hear on some of these accounts out there. The reason why that's not a good allocation of time, and maybe there's a place where we could be reading labels and we could be identifying what products, if we're comparing to, have more protein or have more fiber, or have more nutrients, you know, we're getting more from that product compared to other products. Or is there a time and place where we shouldn't buy any of these products, right? Or if you're in a fat loss phase, or if you realize that having these foods at home is a big trigger for you and not even getting those in the beginning, like, yes, of course, there's a time and an opportunity for us to talk about when you should buy things, what you should buy, how much of that. There are a lot of things that I think might be appropriate when we have these conversations, but just focusing on that again isn't the whole picture here. And we have to appreciate again the fact that health is very multifactorial, and especially because everyone wants to talk about obesity rates and people being overweight or overfat. Like, obesity is not caused by one single ingredient. Like, their obesity and just the fact that our nation, our country, again, is by the year increasing in weight, increasing in BMI, is becoming objectively unhealthier over time. It's driven by a combination of mostly lifestyle factors, your habits on a daily basis, your nutrition, of course, the food environment, physical activity, all of these things that contribute to health, not whether or not the gummy bears that you're buying or the fucking, you know, fruit snacks that you're getting have red 40 in it compared to, you know, sweetened with you know, natural coloring from sweet potatoes, right? Like, those two things, those swaps, assuming everything is equal, isn't going to make a fucking difference if that's the thing that people are focusing their attention on, when in reality, you know, we have a country that averages, I think, 3,000 to 4,000 steps on average each day. We have a country that less than 25% of the population meet, you know, both aerobic and, you know, kind of resistance training, physical activity guidelines, right? Like, more than 75% of our population are not strength training weekly. Like, that is an issue. We also have to acknowledge the fact that, again, you know, ultra processed foods make up, you know, more than 60% of the, you know, average American diet these days. And that less than 10-15% of the country, you know, consume the recommended amounts of fruits and vegetables on a daily basis. Less than 10% of our country meets fiber recommendations daily. You know, the stat is insane. I'm drawing from memory here, but it's like 80-90% of US adults, I think, eat more than 2,500 milligrams of sodium per day. And you can fact check me on that. But again, likely coming from fast food, ultra processed foods, this food environment that, again, focuses more on taste and likelihood of them buying it again, and, you know, overconsumption of those things, more so than nutrient density and more so than foods that are actually going to be health promoting and that have more bang for their buck compared to other things that you could be buying, right? On that same line, sugar intake, again, is very high. Over 50% of Americans, I think, eat more than the recommended sugar intake or allowance per day. And again, I think you're sitting here and there's people sitting here thinking, okay, cool. So maybe going to the grocery store and saying you should never eat anything with added sugar is a good recommendation, or that's a basis to stand on as we're making these recommendations. And I can see the sentiment in that. But again, It's not that we're telling you to avoid these things completely. It's like you never eating salt and trying to shoot for less than 1,000 milligrams of salt could have negative implications. You know, the fact that our cells have these, you know, sodium ion pumps, sodium potassium pumps, you know, salt electrolytes are required for a lot of physiological functions within our body. You trying to eliminate salt completely from your diet, probably not a good call, right? But if you can think about, you know, a graph and having like a U-shaped curve where if you think of a U and we along the Y-axis is like consumption, you know, like amount of whatever it is that you're eating from that. We look at this U, right? Like to the far left, if you're not eating any of it at all, that could lead to health outcomes or health implications. If you eat too much of it, that could lead to negative health implications. But somewhere in the middle is kind of what we're trying to get at here. And again, complete avoidance of all of these things, again, is one, not feasible or possible for most people. And two, helping people and empowering them to make decisions that, hey, where's this enjoyment factor coming in? Where is the health factor coming in? How am I making these decisions consistently over the long term, incorporating these things that I do enjoy? That is where we want to get people to, instead of just trying to think that they need to completely avoid everything at all costs or completely avoid a product because it has a certain ingredient or an emulsifier or a flavor or a certain amount of sugar consumption or sugar content in there. That for most people is just not going to land well, and it's not going to be practical, and it's not going to be feasible for people over the long term. So again, we just have to appreciate the fact that how can we help people learn how to live in this environment? How can we get people to increase their steps? How can we get people to start lifting weekly? How can we reduce the barriers of getting exercise and the stigma and all the things that come with people trying to get into the gym? How can we get people to eat more whole, fresh, nutritious foods instead of having the majority of their diet rely on ultra processed foods? You know, how can we get people to eat more fiber? How can we get people to, you know, actually meet their fruit and vegetable intake recommendations throughout the course of the day? Like those are the questions and those are the things that we kind of need to be focusing on. Cause when we can do that, you having a Snickers bar every night doesn't mean fucking shit. Like that is possible. And that is a world that, you know, can exist for people. And so getting people to appreciate the fact that we can do those things in addition to do these other health promoting behaviors, that I find is when I graduate people and when we're looking at what they're doing now, whether they're tracking, what their, you know, meal composition looks like, what they're buying from the grocery store, what they're feeding their kids, what they're ordering away from home, how frequently they're doing these things. Like that's when I start to appreciate the fact that, yeah, you got this. And this is something that you can navigate today's food environment. You can make educated decisions based on what you need for your health and how you want to look and how you want to feel and what your blood markers look like. We can also have this level of enjoyment with our food and not fearing or being freaked the fuck out about every little thing that we put into our body. It's like that to me is the biggest victory that I can have a coach. And when I eventually get to the point where a client graduates, that's where I feel really good. And I feel like I've done a decent job or we've done a good job together to get people to a place where they can see, you know, what this quote unquote word sustainability looks like into their life and how they're going to continue forward with or without the coach. So the quote unquote bad foods, like they aren't just the problem. They can contribute to the problem. They absolutely are, in addition to a host of other factors out there. But I just want you to appreciate the fact that there are multiple inputs when it goes to health and complete avoidance or being afraid of things. Like I don't know if that's the right answer. And that's not the place that I want most people to be thinking as it comes to them, you know, making their food selections. This brings me up to my next point because we've kind of talked about it already, but we'd be fools not to talk about the fact that there are social determinants of health and not just physical, like what you eat or don't eat. Like people think that, okay, what I put in my mouth is the sole indication of whether or not I'm going to be healthy or lean or lose weight or maintain my weight. When in reality, there are so many other confounding variables and other factors out there that are influencing what you eat, what you have access to eat, how much money you make, or what you spend your money on. You know, yes, there's a genetic thing here, but we're not talking about that necessarily. It's kind of worth a conversation on another day. But work demands and all of these other things that could influence what you eat and how stressed you are and what decisions you make consistently over time, that is where we see a lot of these factors almost influence and get people sick or keep people sick or make this even more difficult than it already is for a lot of people. Because again, health outcomes are not just about personal choices here. It's not just about what you decide to do every single day or what you put into your mouth. Your health is shaped by the environment and the surroundings and the people and a lot of these other factors that you are exposed to on a daily basis. One of them being income and socioeconomic status, right? I know that's kind of a touchy subject because people, you know, sometimes don't want to acknowledge that there are people living lesser than them or people who do not have the same privilege as them, people who do not have the same access to resources, and acknowledge the fact that that could be a reason why these people are struggling more than you might be today. But let's acknowledge the fact that healthy food can be expensive. I use the word can strategically there because I do think there are instances where we could use, frozen foods or canned goods or, different products that might be more cost effective, right? You don't need to be, again, buying the organic, the grass finished, fortified eggs, all these things that you think you might need to be healthy. Like there are different versions of those things that can be just as healthy for people. But acknowledging the fact that people live in food deserts or they don't have the same access to fresh produce or high quality protein, or maybe the environment that they're in, has 20 fast food restaurants within a 2-mile radius and they work within that radius and every single day they drive past these things and, they have a hard time passing up the feed your family for, $10 at IHOP or kids eat free. It's like those are things that are influencing our decisions around food in addition to income and socioeconomic status that cannot be ignored. Okay. In addition to that, education, health literacy, just comprehension of health education and, basic understanding of nutrition, like that requires access to credible information and, maybe good school systems and maybe knowing how to differentiate who and who not to follow on social media platforms, or even like, and we'll talk about access to healthcare, but like accessibility to certain healthcare providers or professionals or experts in this space. Not everyone has the same amount of access to these, basic kind of nutrition, principles and education levels throughout their lifespan, which can make it more difficult on them. Access to healthcare being another big one that we just talked about, which, preventative care or finding good doctors or having insurance or things that cover your visits to a dietitian or a physical therapist or your primary care or an endocrinologist, right? Like for a lot of people, these things are not always accessible. And especially for people who do not have insurance or who maybe are on Medicaid or maybe are relying on some of these government assistance programs, it's like those people are not going to have the same access to healthcare and foods and resources as much as somebody who might be in a different position or living in a different state or who might be in a different income bracket. And again, there are some modifiable variables here. Like technically, yes, on paper, somebody can technically go get a different job that's higher paying. But even in that, like you all know that that's not true necessarily either, right? Like that's not the answer to a lot of these questions because access and, discrimination and availability of, resources and education levels, like this is a systemic problem that, has been happening for a long time. And it's something that can lead to health outcomes over time. And I don't want people to ignore the fact that those things exist because they absolutely do. Along that same breath, work, time demands, personal responsibilities, like, man, there's a lot of people out there working multiple jobs or working really long hours. And those things can make it harder for people to prioritize their health. They can make it harder for them to cook when they get home, can make it harder for them to actually carve out time in their routine to exercise consistently. Maybe that's cutting into their sleep schedule and their sleep routine over time. Like those are things that we also have to acknowledge that exist that, are very difficult in today's culture because we do live in this kind of hustle and bustle culture. And a lot of people are forced to do that or voluntarily choose to do that with their life. And those could be things influencing your decision over time. Not to mention like chronic stress and mental health issues, like economic stress, your job stress, job insecurity, family responsibilities, mental health challenges. You know, this factors into the accessibility of healthcare and ability to get diagnosis or medications or support or resources as you need. But all of these things, especially in today's day and age, like stress and inability to manage that stress or have control over the things contributing to that stress, can make it difficult for people to make healthy choices over the long term as well. That also sometimes ties into community and kind of the built-in environment that you find yourself in. Like, you know, there's a reality that some people cannot escape or get out of different area codes or neighborhoods or places that they grew up because that's all they can afford or that's all they know. And there are people in a lot of areas, whether it be food deserts, rural areas, maybe more impoverished or lower socioeconomic status type of neighborhoods, they just lack safe places, you know, to go out and walk in the evening or to have access to quality grocery stores, or just don't really have walkable areas, and don't have access to exercise equipment or gyms or things in the local area. And again, those are accessibility issues that can be big barriers for people to actually implementing a lot of these guidelines, a lot of these things that, again, we could be doing to make people healthy. And so I want to touch on this topic because it is really important, and I need to wrap up on that because I have calls starting in 3 minutes, but I just want people to acknowledge the fact that, like, there are so many influences when it comes to public health outcomes and what decides health for people or what the trends we see over time. And unfortunately, a lot of these things can and are getting worse for some people, or people don't have the same access or resources or ability to change their choices as much as someone like myself, or, you know, people who live in different neighborhoods. Like, we all are not playing the game at the same level. And for those reasons, these general blanket, you know, recommendations of Flav City going into a grocery store and sitting here talking about how you should be avoiding things with anything over 10 grams of added sugar in the products that you eat, and redirecting your attention to the same product with 5 grams of added sugar that is coming from organic, you know, agave or whatever. It's like that is piece of information that people are consuming, thinking that that's going to get them to a place where they're healthy and that's going to keep moving the needle in meaningful directions, when in reality, that is this whole concept of, like, hey, people are majoring in the minors. And, you know, again, a lot of it is sometimes at the fault of these influencers and people who are extremely out of touch with reality and what their follower struggles like might actually be. And there is a percentage of the population, 1000%, that, you know, maybe that's worth the conversation, or maybe there's somebody sitting here and it's like, yeah, you know what? I notice when I don't eat these types of sugar additives or sugar alcohols or types of artificial sweeteners, maybe I don't feel as good as me eating other things or swapping this for that. And I do think that that can be part of the conversation, but people are making that the whole conversation. And I think that is where we're kind of missing the point here. And I think that's where a lot of this confusion is stemming from. And I just want to try and clear some of the confusion and clear the air on this fact that, like, health is not as simple as you avoiding a seed oil for the rest of your life. It's just not true. And again, if we go into the nuances of, like, hey, are seed oils actually the root of all evil and the reason that obesity has risen and the reason that people are unhealthy and the reason people are insert XYZ? No, it's not. You know, yeah, maybe the fact that seed oils are in a lot of highly processed foods, they're very shelf stable. There's a lot of things that, seed oils are found in, especially fast food restaurants. It's like, yeah, the overconsumption of calories and the fact that, you know, you're eating foods that are very nutrient poor, that have a lot of excess energy in there, that aren't really giving you a ton of nutrients. It's like, yeah, sure, people cutting out seed oils and them limiting or not eating as much of those things, maybe that's the reason you're seeing the health benefits you see by eliminating seed oils. But again, it's not the seed oils necessarily in general. It's the change in food selection. It's the change in, you know, eating patterns. It's starting to give a fuck and starting to make different decisions around your nutrition and fitness. Whereas, you know, somebody maybe uses seed oils to cook some of their vegetables on the stovetop, and, you know, their calories are controlled. They're getting enough protein. They're lifting 3 times a week. They're getting their aerobic activity. They're getting 7,000 to 8,000 steps every single day. You know, they've lost weight. Like, that person eating the seed oil is not going to be more unhealthy because they're incorporating seed oils into their routine. And so, again, we can talk about this in so many different ways, but I just want you guys to appreciate the fact that there are a lot of inputs when it goes into health. And, your version of health, your definition of health is going to look very different than mine or the person sitting next to you or your parent or maybe what your kid or maybe your neighbors or maybe the people who don't live in the same neighborhood as you. And I think once we can all come to an agreement that that is an important, like, confounding variable here, that's when I think that a lot of this stuff can become easier and we can start to appreciate, you know, the different inputs of health, and we can start to actually make meaningful improvements over time instead of just hyper-focusing on things that, again, are not going to do fuck all for you in the, long-term health outcomes that we're kind of looking for. So I'm going to end the show on that note. If you made it all the way to the end, I obviously appreciate you. I will be excited to keep recording podcasts as I can. Might not be as consistent as I normally am, but promise you I will get those out when I can and continue to put a lot of effort in this when the opportunities present. So if you made it this far, again, remember to eat with a purpose, train with attention, think with confidence as you work towards your own nutrition and fitness goals. Appreciate you as always. We'll chat soon. Take care of yourself. All right. Peace. Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you found value and enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media. If you do, make sure you tag me so I can say thanks. Or if you're on iTunes, scrolling down and leaving a 5-star review would be much appreciated. And if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always find me on Instagram at LukeSmithRD. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.